Okay. Acharei dvarim eile, kishocham asamelech achashverosh zachar es vashti veis asher asasa veis asher nigzar ala. Okay, so after the events of the Mishteh, okay, so after things had settled down and the melech's anger settled, kishocham asamelech, the anger of the melech settled down, zachar es vashti, then he started thinking back about Vashti, Vesasher Asasa, and what she had done to him, Vesasher Nigzar Allah, and what had been Nigzar, what the Gzera that had been imposed upon her, the fact that she had been sentenced to be killed, right? Now the Lashon Nigzar is a passive Lashon, right? So this is a remez to the idea that we saw in the beginning, that even though it was Achashverosh was the one who made the Gzar Din, who made the Gzera against her, but he felt like he was forced into it, that Haman manipulated the situation to force him to stand up for his kavod and kill her, even though that wasn't really his intention. So he's looking back at it and thinking how it came about that the Gzera was imposed on her, even though it wasn't really his intention. Vayomru Nare HaMelech Misharsav. So who does the melech go to for Eitzah when he needs to make an important decision, right? So if he was wise, he would go to his chachamim, to his advisors, to his sarim, right? So who gives him the advice? Vayomru Nare HaMelech, the kids, the youth who hung out in the royal palace, that's who gives him the advice. And what's their advice? It's youthful advice, right? What should they do? Yivakshu l'melech naros besulos tovos mare. That he should go and search out beautiful women, right? Go find beautiful young besulos and choose a wife from that, right? How did Malachim choose their wives in those times? They would marry the heads of state, the daughters of other kings. That would be a way of solidifying their position, especially the fact that Vashti herself, it had been his whole claim to royalty in the first place, and now he'd killed her. So if he'd gone to any kind of rational advisor, they would tell him to look for Yichus, to look for a marriage that's going to solidify his Malchus. And instead he goes to the Na'arim, and they give him the advice to go and find Stam a beautiful girl, right? And obviously, this is part of the whole Hashgacha Pratis that brings about the fact that Esther is taken to be the queen, that it's al derech hatev, it doesn't make any sense why he would take someone who's not even telling her who her ancestors are to be queen. Vayafkena melech pikidim b'chol medidos malchuso, vayikbitzu es kol na'ara b'sula tovas mareh, el shushan abira el beis hanashim, el yad hege siris hamelech, shomer nashim, v'nason tamrukehem. So they appointed messengers in all of the countries. They spread out through all of the countries. Vayikbitzu es kol na'ara b'sula, they brought all the beautiful young girls, tovas mareh, el shushan abira, they brought them all to shushan abira. El Beis HaNashim, to the house where the women stayed, El Yad HaGeis Shri Samelach, Shomer HaNashim. V'nason Tamrukehim, and he gave them their cosmetics to beautify themselves. V'anara Asher Tita Beine HaMelach, Timloch Tachas Vashti, and the one who will find favor in the eyes of the Melach will take the place of Vashti. V'yitav Adavar Beine HaMelach V'yaskin. So he went ahead and took the advice of the Na'arim without asking any of his wiser, older advisors. He went ahead and took the Na'arim's advice. Ish Yehudi Hayav Shushan Abira. There was a Yehudi, a Jewish, a man from Yehuda who was B'Shushan Abira. The emphasis here, Hayav B'Shushan Abira, that he was originally in Shushan, right? We said that the whole fact that Achashverosh set up his capital city in Shushan was just a coincidence because of the throne, and this was part of the Hashgacha that he was drawn to make the royal city in Shushan because that's the place where Mordechai was, and that was going to be the Heichal Timtza of how Esther was going to be brought into the palace.
Was an exile from Eretz.
We'll get there. Ishu Diayab Shushan Abira. So he had been living in Shushan Abira. Ushmo Mordechai Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, Ish Yemini. Okay, so first of all, we have a stira here. First, it calls him Yehudi, which is mashma that he's from Shevet Yehuda, and then it says Yemini that he's from Shevet Binyamin. So what happened was that in the time initially all the other Shvatim were sent into Galus by Nebuchadnezzar before the final Galus of Yehuda. So all that was left was Yehuda, and Yirmiyah HaNavi had brought back the representatives of all the other Shvatim to Yehuda. So by this time, the whole Gola that went out was referred to as Yehudim, because the rove of the Jews at that time that were still together in Eretz Yisrael were from Yehuda. But originally the Shevet was Binyamin. And not only that, but he's referred to, not only he was called a Yehudi and Binyamin, but he's called Ish Yehudi and Ish Yemini, which shows Ish is always a lashon of Chashivus, showing that he was originally from the Chashiv lineage of Binyamin, and then he became and then when he went back to and was part of the Malchus of Yehuda, he rose in Chashivus even within Yehuda. In other words, even though it wasn't his own Shevet, but they were makshiv him, they counted him as an Ish also. Okay? What?
Don't we say that Binyamin was also left in Yehuda, like even as opposed to all the others? Say that. Like, Yehuda and Binyamin was there also. Yeah,
so. I'm not sure. The way I saw it, I think, is that he was brought back with, you know, huh? What, Binyamin was always part of Malchus Yehuda?
Right.
I'm not sure. I don't think that's the mashmos in the Gra, but I'm not so sure about the history. Yeah. The first it's setting the stage. The first part was the advice, and now we're going to see that advice is what brought about the choosing of Esther. So now we have to give the background of who Esther was and where she's coming from. Okay, so it's like kind of splicing the two scenes. Okay, so now, because I'll say that the Lashonos, all of these names, Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, are all Lashonos of Tefillah. Okay, Chazal say that that he was Heyer Einam b'Tefillah, and he was that Hashem was Shomea's Tefillah, and he was Maki, she knocked on the doors of heaven with Tefillah. So we see that all of Mordechai's Koach is Tefillah. And the Grav points out that the remez to Mordechai in the Torah is Maridachya, is the Mar Dror's is in the Tirgum is Maridachya, is the head of the Besamim. So the Besamim is also it's what makes the Ratzon, the Nachas Ruach in front of Hashem. So it's this ability to bring out the Ratzon Hashem and the Rachamim in Hashemayim. So the Iker Kol, even with all of his godless in Torah and in leadership, that the Iker God was that Mordechai brought to the Megillah is his Koach HaTefillah, and that was what eventually saved Klal Yisrael by the fasting and the Tzaka. That's the Iker Koach that Mordechai had to save Klal Yisrael. Asher Hagla Yerushalayim Im Hagola Asher Hagosa Im Yechanya Melech Yehuda Asher Hagla Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel. Okay, he was sent into Galus from Yerushalayim with the exile that was sent out with Yechaniah Melech Yehuda, who was sent out by Nebuchadnezzar. So the pasuk three times it's chozer on the lashon of the verb form of gola that he was of hegla that he was sent out. So Chazal say that he kept going back. That each time he got sent into Galus, that he loved Eretz Yisrael so much that he would go back to Eretz Yisrael and they would have to kick him out again. So it shows that his chibas Eretz Yisrael. Also, it shows the fact that he was sent out with Yechaniah. Yechaniah was the original Galus when they sent out the Charash Umazker, which is a remez to the Talmidei Chachamim, to the Chashuvim of the nation. So that also shows the Galus of Mordechai, that he was part of that the elite group that was selected to be sent into Galus to break the spirit of Klal Yisrael. Vahi Omenes Hadassah, he raised Hadassah. He Esther, who was called Esther, Bas Dodo. In other words, her real name was Hadassah, but which he was referred to as Esther, which is a lashon of beauty. It's a lashon of the Areach. She was compared to the to the moon for her beauty. Bas Dodo ki ein la avim, that she was his niece because she didn't have a mother or father. They died before she was born. Vanara yifas toar, or during childbirth. Vanara yifas toar v'tovas mara. She was beautiful both in her form. Toar is the form of her body. V'tovas mara, and the glow, the shine of her face. And the girl explains that that's talking about maisim tovim and midos tovos. Uvamos avia v'ima l'kacha Mordechai lo levas. And when her mother and father died, Mordechai took her like a daughter. And Chazal say levas is meant to jibred lebayis, meaning that he married her. Okay, so he took her in and raised her, and then took her for a wife. Yeah.
Isn't Bas Dod a cousin?
What?
Wouldn't Bas Dod be cousin?
Bas Dod. Bas Dod. Okay. Something like that. Yeah. I think in the context, I think it actually is niece, but I'm not sure exactly. Yeah. What? We're being introduced to her. This is the first time we're being introduced. So she's described. Her milas are being described. Yeah.
Why does the Megillah describe her beauty so much?
That's why the Gra goes into it. The Gra goes into detail about what the different aspects of beauty, that it's all the different aspects of her proper maisim and midos tovos. That's exactly why he's going into what the meaning behind that is, but that's the basic shot. Okay. Vayhi he shamad dvar melech v'daso, when the word of the king and his edict, in other words, initially there was just a general appeal for girls to come and try out for the position of queen. And then when he still hadn't found the one that he was looking for, then it became an edict. Then it became a command that he insisted that everyone be come forward. He kabetz naros rabos el shushan abira el yad hegai, and many girls were being brought together to Shushan to under the control of Hegai. Va'tilakach Esther el beis hamelach el yad hegai shomer anashim, and Esther was taken to the beis hamelach to Hegai. Okay, here's one of the major themes that we're going to see. The Gra keeps emphasizing over and over in the Malbim also, is this is where we have to break down our the childhood Purim play way of looking at this relationship between Esther and Ahasuerus. Right? We're used to a simple childish view of it that, oh, isn't this beautiful? This the poor orphan girl gets taken and raised up to be a chashuv queen, right? So we obviously understand that she was a nice, Beis Yaakov girl, nice from Jew, and the last thing in the world that she wants is to go and be the queen to this mushchas, goyish king, right? So this was not what she was looking for. So we see that the Megillah emphasizes over and over that this was 100% against her will from beginning to end, that every step of the way she resisted to the extent possible. So it says that she didn't go to the courtyard of the king to try out for queen. Vatila Kach, she was taken. Okay? We'll see in a minute that she managed to hide. We'll see in a second to what extent they had been trying to hide her from being taken. Vatitava nara beinav, vatisa chesed lefanav, vayival es tamrukev es manusel latedla, beis sheva noros haruyos latedla mi beis hamel. So she found favor in the eyes of Hegai, and therefore he quickly tried to get her all of the best things, and he gave her servants, seven servants, and he gave her like the best suite. He gave her the best accommodations in the base nashim, right? Because he saw right away that she had this special chen. He had a feeling that she was going to be the one that was chosen, and therefore he wanted to get on her good side. That eventually, when she's malka, that she'll be benevolent to him. So that's why he wanted to take the best care of her. Um, Okay. So the fact that everyone was impressed with her, that everyone found her to be beautiful, that this is all part of the nace, the Gemara says that she was Yirak Rak, that she was green. So the Gemara asked, how could it say that she was green if the Pesukim say that she was beautiful? Green is beautiful? I don't think there is that one. So the Gemara says she was green. It means she was green with sickness because she was so disgusted by having to go to Ahasuerus that she became physically ill from it. She turned green, but so she was naturally beautiful, but she turned green from being repulsed by Ahasuerus. And nonetheless, there was a special siyata dishmaya that her natural good midos and everything would shine through. Then she would still find favor in people's eyes. Lo yigida Esther as ama v'as moladata. Esther didn't reveal her nation or her country that she was from. Ki Mordechai tziva l'asher lo tagid. Because Mordechai was mitzaver not to tell. So she was following instructions. She was following Mordechai's tzivoy. Okay, now, this is one of these cases that, in retrospect, we see that was the key to the whole Hatzalah, right? It was the surprise element that the Gzeira was against everyone, including her. And then she turned it around by revealing to Ahasuerus that really she was Jewish, right? So obviously we see that this was an essential part of the Hatzalah. But the question is, so what was she thinking in the first place? What was her motivation to do this in the first place? Well, in other words, what was Mordechai's motivation? She was doing it because she was told, because she was following Mordechai's instructions. But what was Mordechai's motivation for telling her to not reveal her nationality, her lineage? So the Gra learns that the Pshat was that initially she was afraid of getting in trouble, that because she had been trying to hide from the Melech, she hadn't gone voluntarily. So initially she was afraid that if she would say that she was Jewish, that they would take to come against the Jews. Okay. Now the Gra himself points out, though, that Lechora, at some point along the line, she should have realized that once she was finding favor in everyone's eyes, that it wouldn't be bad for the Jews for her to reveal her secret. So why did she continue keeping the secret? So the Gra says that this Lashon Ki Mordechai Tzivala is saying that she was, that even though the original reason why Mordechai told her didn't apply anymore, that since she had gotten the instruction from Mordechai, she stuck to it even though the reason didn't seem to still be applicable. So it was that was also part of the hashgacha, that even though there was no real reason why she had to keep it secret, but she still kept the secret. The Rashi and the Malvim say a different shot. They say that this is all part of her attempt to avoid being taken to the Melech. That she figured that if she would reveal her lineage, and apparently she was miyuchas to Shaul HaMelech, that would dafka be a reason why Ahasuerus would be interested in marrying her. And she was, and she figured as long as people thought that she was just some kind of an orphan picked up off the street, that no one knows where she came from, so that would be a negative that Ahasuerus wouldn't want her, and that was her goal to try to get kicked out and not be taken to the king. Yeah. No, you don't see it. I mean, it could be that there is such a mahal. The Pashup Shah, the Mishnah, was showing off his glory and all these things, and that was just his anger at the spur of the moment, that a situation came up where she crossed him, and Haman took advantage of his anger to get him to impose this punishment. Right. So rationally speaking, he should be looking to be mechazik his malchus by again marrying into a chashev family. Why would he? It could be that there is such a mahal. The pashtus is that he was acting out of anger, and that was against his better interests. Yeah.
Even still, the point that mahal from being the parak says, after he woke up Veskel and he saw what he did, he regretted it.
Right.
Right. Still,
right. Yeah.
What was Haman's motivation towards pushing him to?
So we talked about last time that he had his own shalom bias problem, so it was very important to him to, we'll see it again later, that it was very important for him to put the women in their place and stop this women's lib movement that was going on over there in Paras Umade. Okay. Uvechol yom v'yom Mordechai mishalich lipnei ha-chatzar beis ha-nashim. And every day Mordechai was walking in front of the chatzar beis ha-nashim. Ladas es shalom Esther, to know how Esther was doing, meaning how she was holding up physically because she was so sick from being taken to the Melech. Umaye Aseba, and if anything was being done to her, if she was being punished for the fact that she was being hidden. Uvagia tor na'ara v'na'ara, lavoel ha-melech ha-chashverush, miketz ha-yosla, kedas ha-nashim, shnei masar chodesh, kichin yimu yumei meruka. That she would, each one, when her turn would come, she would go after 12 months of preparation. 12 months of cleansing herself and using cosmetics to make herself beautiful. Shisha chadashim b'shem and amor, 6 months in more oil, which was a way of removing hair remover. V'shisha chadashim b'samim, 6 months in spices, uvitamruki anashim, and in the cleansing agents that women would use. Now, the Gra, even in his Derech HaPshat, says, what's going on here, right? These are obviously psukim that have no mashmaus to us on the pshat level. What does it interest us? What kind of cosmetics she used? You know, did she use Avon? Did she use, right? That's not what we need from the Megillah. So the Gra takes these psukim Derech Drash. He says that this is talking about the din of Yom Kippur, of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It says that every year we go in front of the Melech on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So it says that we're given 12 months. So when every person goes in front of the king, in front of Hashem on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Yimei Adin, so we're given a 12-month grace period. In other words, what happens is, the way the Gra explains is that every year that there's a din on Yom Kippur, and Hashem takes us on our word. If we do tshuva, we say we're going to do better. Hashem is overlooks the averas of the past year, and He gives us like a 12-month trial period. Then now we're going to see if you stick to your Kabbalahs that you're Makabel and the Charata that you had on Yom Kippur, and over the next year you improve yourself, then the Kapara becomes complete, and then the Avonis are completely Nimkal. So it says, so the way a person needs to go about it, it says that first Shisha Chadashim B'Shem and Amor, that 6 months in the hair removal process, the hair in a person is the least essential to the functioning of his body. So that's the idea of Mosros, of things that are extra, things that are unnecessary. So we spend 6 months getting rid of our connection to all of the taivas of Olam Hazeh and all the unnecessary pleasures that we take from Olam Hazeh. V'shisha chadashim v'besamim v'tamruki anashim, and 6 months working on improving ourselves in besamim is the mitzvahs aseh, and tamruki anashim is the mitzvahs los aseh, and that's the way that we prepare ourselves over the entire year to do a complete tshuva. V'zeh nara ba'al ha-melech, and with that preparation, then we can go in front of the king on the following Yom Kippur, and then our averus are completely nimkal. That we're granted all of our wishes to go from Olam Hazeh into Olam Hava, and to be protected from any of the kitrug along the way, from any of the onshim in Gehenna. Okay, so he says that we can't resist seeing the Ramazim al derech drash to the kapara of Yom Kippur. Okay. By erev hiba'u v'boker hishava el beis hanashim. In the evening she would come to the king, v'boker hishava. In the morning she would return el beis hanashim. Sheini el yad shashgaz sris ha-melech shomer ha-pilagshim. Okay, so once a woman was nivelas to the melech, so then she would have the status of a pilagesh. That means that she would be asur to marry anyone else because she's already been with the king. But lo tavo od al-melech, so unless she specifically made an impression on the king, and he calls for her again, she would be stuck there in the base Pilagshim for the rest of her life. Okay, Uvagia Torah Esther, Basav Echayel, Dod Mordechai, Asher Lakachlo Lavas, Lavo El Melch, Lovikshat Davar. So when it was Esther's turn to go to the Melech, she didn't ask for anything to take with her. Kiim as Asher Yomar, hey guys, Teresa Melch, Shomer and Hashim, Vati Esther no Seis Tain Beinei Chol Ra. Okay, so again, she wasn't looking to be chosen. She wasn't doing anything, going out of her way to try to attract Achashverosh's attention. Whatever Haggai told her to take, she took. And still, even in her natural beauty, she took. She found favor in the eyes of the Melech. Yeah.
Why would she do that? I would understand if before she didn't want to be taken. She'd rather be with Mordechai, but now she'd be taken. It's between being with the king rest of her life or being in the base production.
Okay, that's also better. A Goyish king, that's not what she's looking for. Right? To be in the base of the production, fine. So she'll just sit there and do her knitting. What? Okay. Vatilakach Esther El HaMelech. So again, even on the final stages, even now that it's imminent that she's going to have to be taken, again, she has to be taken against her will. El HaMelech HaChashverosh El Beis Malchuso V'chodesh HaAsiri HuChodesh Teves. Okay, when was this? This was in the 10th month. HuChodesh Teves Bishnas Sheva L'Malchuso, the 7th year of his Malchus. Okay, so the Grub points out that means that she had been hiding from Achashverosh for 3 years. Right, she succeeded in avoiding him from the time of the original Mishta was 3 years ago. The third year of the Malchus, and now she managed to hide out for 3 years until they finally caught her and brought her into Achashverosh. Okay. Also to keep in mind the passage of time. The Altar of Slobodka points out that in as far as the flow of how all of the pieces of the Megillah fit together to bring about the final Atzala, so we see it all as one unit, but from a perspective of a person who is standing in those times, they don't see the connection of events. Things were taking place between the Mishnah and getting rid of Vashti and choosing Esther. All these things, there's a long time span until the last section of the Megillah is all the last 3 days. Everything, the climax happens in a big hurry. But all the setup of how everything was put into place was piece by piece being put together over a long period of time. Vayahav HaMelech as Esther Mikol Anashim Vatizachin V'chesed L'fanav Mikol Abstulus. The Melech loved Esther more than any of the women. Vatizachin V'chesed L'fanav, and she found favor in his eyes. Mikol Abstulus, more than any of the Abstulus. In other words, that he liked her more than the Nashim, his other wives, the other Pilagshim that he had already married, and more than all the Bsulos who were being brought now. Vayasim Keser Malchus Barosha Vayamlicha Tachas Vashti. He gave her the Keser Malchus and made her the queen in place of Vashti. Vayasim Elv Mishta Gadol Lechol Sarav Vavadav Eis Mishta Esther Vahanachalam Dinos Asa Vayitain Mases Kiadimel. So he celebrated this occasion of finding a queen by making a party in her honor and giving cuts in taxes and giving presents to the people. Okay, Chazal say that he was doing all these things because he was trying to encourage her to reveal who her what her lineage was. So he was offering that he'll give them presents, he'll give them he'll invite them to the party. In other words, he kept trying to find excuses to get her to tell, and she was sticking to her commitment to Mordechai not to tell. Yeah.
Didn't bother that she wasn't a Basula?
What?
There wasn't a Shifrim?
You mean because she was married to Mordechai? I'm not sure if she was Nesua or if she was only a Mureses to Mordechai. I'm not sure. We have to check. I don't remember that being mentioned. So Mistama, she was only Mureses. Okay. Ubeki Kavetz Basula Shenis. Mordechai Yoshe B'Shar HaMelech. When the Basulas were gathered a second time, Mordechai was B'Shar HaMelech. Okay, what's the second gathering, right? That doesn't seem to fit in. So the Grux understands that they were being gathered, all of the other ones that hadn't been chosen were being gathered to be sent home. So he was showing to what extent he was committed to Esther, that he was no longer interested in the other Basulas. They were all sent back and rejected. Okay, Mordechai was Yoshe B'Shar HaMelech. meaning that he was appointed to be a dayan. He was raised up to gedula. Now, this seems to be because, even though she didn't reveal the relationship, but everyone knew that Mordechai had raised her. In other words, all that was being kept secret was who her actual family was. But the fact that Mordechai had done her a tova was already known, and therefore he was raised up in recognition of that. Ein Esther Mogedes Moladata Ves Ama Kasher Tivala. Mordechai still, she kept to her policy of not saying who she was from. Ves Mam or Mordechai Esther Osa Kasher Haisa Bom Naito. And she was still faithful to his commandments, even though now she was the queen, and you would think that she could make her own decisions, but she was still faithful to Mordechai's command. Bayami, yeah. Interesting. I'm not sure. Interesting. I believe. One second. I believe that he's. Yeah. One second. Yeah, I'm not sure. The truth is, I think I'm not sure. We'll have to keep our eyes open. I'm not sure if it was known yet that Mordechai had raised her. You'd think it would. That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure. We'll have to check that. Because here the Gra actually doesn't mention that point. I'm sorry. The Gra himself says that he was trying to do something for each different nation in order that to cover all the bases, that anyway. That whoever she was from would be taken care of. So the gesture he made towards the Jews was to raise up Mordechai. Okay. So I think I saw elsewhere this idea that he knew that he had raised her. Okay, but you're right. That would raise a little bit of a difficulty. Okay. Fine. Bayami Mahem Mordechai Yoshe Bashar Melch Katzav Bigsan Viserish Shnei Sari Say Melch. In those days, when Mordechai was sitting in the Shara Melech, the two guards of the Saf is the entranceway, the guards of the gates in front of Achashverosh plotted against him to kill him. Vayiva hadavar leMordechai vayagid leEsther haMalka vaTomer Esther leMelech b'shem Mordechai, and it became known to Mordechai. Because Mordechai was a member of the Sanhedrin, and Sanhedrin knew all Shivim Lashonos, so therefore, even though he was speaking a language that wasn't known in Paras U'Madai, that Mordechai understood the language and picked up on their plot. Why exactly were they plotting to kill the Melech? So, a lot of different theories, right? A lot of different possibilities. Some say that they were jealous of Mordechai being raised up. They thought that they should have been appointed to the Shara Melech. Others say that it was because of Vashti, that they were related to Vashti, and they were upset that he had killed Vashti. Okay, whatever the reasons, at this point they wanted to kill Achashverosh, and Mordechai revealed the plot. But Tomer Esther Lamelech b'shem Mordechai, and Esther told it over in the name of Mordechai. So she was just doing what's the right thing to do, to say something over B'Shem Omro, not to take credit for yourself. And we see the tremendous results, right? The Chazal say that Kol Omer Adav B'Shem Omro, maybe Gul Olam, that we see the dramatic results that can come up when a person acts, just a Pashat Inyan of Derech Eretz can make the difference for the Hatzal of Kal Yisrael. What? That's from here. Yeah.
So the question is,
it was checked out. The Gra explains that what happened was that it was two of the guards that had two different shifts. So one of them was substituting for the other one's shift while the other one went to get the poison. So the fact that the wrong one was the guy was there when it wasn't his shift, so that's how they caught them. They hung both of them because they besayed for Dibrei Ayamim Lufnei HaMelech, and it was written in the Dibrei Ayamim Lufnei HaMelech, meaning not just the general chronicles of the country, but specifically the book that was kept by the Melech of the important events. Okay, how are we doing on time? Maybe we'll take a break in the middle at some point. Okay, let's keep moving. Perek Yomel. No, that's okay. Okay, achar advarim eila. So now, after the aforementioned events, okay, Gidal Melech Achashverosh as Haman. Now Hashem now Melech Achashverosh raised up Haman ben Hamdasa Agagi vayinaseu, and he raised him upright. The lashon of raising is like the king would sit on a platform, so all of the people would sit according to their rank. So he was on the highest pedestal next to the Melech. Vayasim Kiso Meal Kol Hasarim Asher Yitol. His chair was placed like on the step higher than all of the other sarim. Okay, now how is this? Why is this Achar Advarim? Why does this follow from the previous events? So Al Derech HaPshat, it follows that Haman. It turns out that he was the one who gave the Eitzah to kill Vashti in the first place, and now we see that. And now Achashverosh saw what a positive result had come from Haman's advice. So therefore, he showed his appreciation by raising him up. The other aspect of Achar Advarim Ha'ela is that the idea that Hashem is Makdim Refuah L'Makah, that before the danger even presents itself, Hashem has already prepared for us the way in which He's going to save us. And therefore, Achar Advarim Ha'ela, after this whole progression of events that Achashverosh had moved to Shushan, got rid of Vashti, and then brought Esther in, and the fact that Mordechai had already given the positive report about had saved his life, and now he was owed a favor. All of these issues that are going to end up being essential to the Hatzalah in the end had all been set up before the danger had even presented itself. Okay. Obviously, Haman ben Hamdasa Agagi, right? Agag was the Melech of Amalek, so we see clearly his lineage to Amalek. V'chol avdei Amalek asher b'shar Amalek korim u'shtachavim l'Haman ki chen tziva lo Amalek u'mardechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachavah. That everyone bowed down to Haman because it was a sign of respect for the Melech, because the Melech had appointed him to this high position. But Mordechai refused to bow down. As I'll say that it wasn't just a personal thing that Haman was Davka wearing an Avodah Zarah on him, trying to get the Jews to bow down to Avodah Zarah so that there would be a kitrug against them. And Mordechai knew that to bow down to Avodah Zarah was Yaharik Val Yavor, and therefore he wouldn't bow down. What? It sounds like he was the only one who was willing to stand up. Well, first of all, he was the most noticeable because he was the one who was Bashar HaMelech, so he was the one who was always there. But Einach Nami, it sounds like he was the one who took a stance and wasn't willing to give in to the pressure. Yeah.
Gemara says that Asa Atzmai Avodah Zarah, that like he made himself.
Right. That's the lashon of the Gemara. What? I'm not sure exactly what that means. Asa Atzmo Avodah Zarah. Yeah. So that he himself is an Avodah Zarah. Okay. I'm not sure exactly what that means. I believe I remember the other Purushim that he had an Avodah Zarah on him. Okay. So now, Vayomru Avdi HaMelech Asher B'Shar HaMelech L'Mordechai Maduata Uveres Mitzvah HaMelech. So the Avdi HaMelech who were in the Shar HaMelech asked Mordechai, why are you going against the king's command? Vayhi Ka'amram Elav Yom Vayom V'Rosham Alem. And they kept trying to convince him that he has to get in line with the tzivoy and do what he's told, and he wouldn't listen. Vayagidu Haman, so they went and they told Haman about what's going on. Liros Hayam Du Dibrei Mordechai, because they wanted to see whether Mordechai would really be able to stand up to his principles that he was saying. Kihigi Lahem Asher Yehudi, because he revealed that he was Jewish, and therefore they became. It wasn't just a personal thing; it became a religious thing. The Gra says that all the greatest anger is always over religion. That we see throughout history, the persecution has always been in the name of religion. So when it becomes a religious thing, that he's doing because he's Jewish, that increased the anger of the population against him.
What's the connection to the Melech though? Talver and Mitzvot Melech. Why not Mitzvot Haman?
Because that's what's chashuv. What's important is the Mitzvot Melech. If it was just Haman, then that's one thing to go against Haman, but once you have the authority of the Melech, then that's mamish being more Rebbe Malchus. That's much more severe. Okay, right now, obviously, in the Nigla, right? So Mordechai was the one who told people not to go to the Mishteh, right? And the Mishteh, see, everything went fine. That right, you didn't see a direct negative implication will happen. The Mishteh set up the fact that Esther would be taken into the Malchus, but here, Mordechai is the one who's making trouble for the Jews, getting everyone angry that he's not bowing down. Okay, so you can imagine the pressure being put on Mordechai. That look, you're putting the whole Jewish nation in danger. But Mordechai knew that you have to stand up for what's right. That if there's a halacha of Yarek Val Yavor, that he wasn't willing to compromise in any way, even though it looked very bad and the people were pressuring him that he should give in. But he stuck to his principles and stayed with it. Okay, Vayar Haman, yeah. I'm not sure. There's this whole story with Chana, the whatchamacallit, with Chana v'Shiva Bana. I think if it looks, especially if it's Farhasi and it looks like you're giving in, then there's no din of then it's still Yarek Val Yavor. Okay. Yeah.
Yarek Val Yavor apply no matter how many people would be involved.
Apparently, yeah, it doesn't seem like there's any chiluk in whether it's an individual or a tzibur. Okay, Vayar Haman ki ein Mordechai koreu mishtachav elo v'yimalei Haman chema. So Haman noticed, in other words, before it had never caught his eye, but now that it was pointed out to him, now he paid attention and he noticed that Mordechai wasn't bowing down, and he was filled with anger. Vayivez beinav lishloach yad b'Mordechai levado, that it seemed insignificant to him just to kill Mordechai alone. Once he heard that it was because he was Jewish, so it wasn't just a personal thing. He wanted to take it out on the entire nation. And therefore, Haman wanted to destroy all of the Jews all throughout the Malchus Achashverosh, which was everywhere, right? Achashverosh was shown on the entire world, so he wanted to wipe out all the Jews. Bachodesh Arishon, Hu Chodesh Nisan, Bishnas Shtei Mesrei L'Melech Achashverosh, Hipil Pur. Right, so we're already in Shnas Shtei Mesrei, right? So all this, it's 9 years that have gone on since the beginning of the setting up of the stage for these events. Okay, so Hipil Pur. So actually, and now from now on, starting from here, it's all going to take place within 3 days. Right, the stage has been set over a period of 9 years, and now the final climax happens all in a rush from one event to the next. B'chodesh Rishon u'chodesh Nisan b'shnas Shemesrei l'melech Achashverosh hipil pur hura goral. He threw a lot, which is the Persian word for a goral, what we call a goral. Lifnei Haman miyom liyom u'mechodesh l'chodesh shnei masar u'chodesh adar. He threw it based on the days and the months, and it came out the 12th month Chodesh Adar. Okay, so Haman was trying to see what was the proper mazel. In other words, he was using the kochos of Tuma to find out the mazalos of when his mazel was strong and Klai Yisrael's mazel was weak, a time that he would be able to win out over Klai Yisrael. Because I'll say that it came out in the month that Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter, so he thought that was a sign that it was a bad mazel for Klai Yisrael, but he didn't realize that it was also the month that Moshe Rabbeinu was born, and therefore it shows the koach of Klai Yisrael of regeneration that we talked about in Parsha Shir. The idea that Klal Yisrael has the koach of Chiddush, that they are constantly rejuvenating. Just because the Adar is the 12th month, it's the end of the year, that doesn't mean that we're waning. That means that we're just starting to regain our kochos for the coming year. Okay, so he threw this pur, and it's important to tell us, well, even though we don't know today what a pur, it has to translate, a pur is a goral, but it emphasizes that it was called a pur because that's the whole name Purim came from that goral. And the Gra emphasizes that, we'll see it maybe later in the Pesukim, but the emphasis is that Davka, the name Pur, is Purim is based on the name Pur, because that emphasizes the greatness of the Nes. That we think that there's a koach in Teva, in the natural world, that it's a Nes when something happens against Teva, but when something happens against the Mazalos, that's even a greater Nes. When the Mazal in the world is a certain way, and Hashem, because Ein Mazal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael is beyond the system of Mazalos, right? The whole existence of Yitzchak Avinu wasn't supposed to, Alpi the Mazalos, Avram wasn't supposed to have children. The whole existence of Klal Yisrael is L'malo Mina Mazalos. So that shows the special koach of Klal Yisrael, that even though he threw a pur, and then Alpi the derech of the Mazalos, he really had chosen a day that he could have been Minatzeach, but Chazal say that Hashem was Mishadi the Ma'arachos, that Hashem overturned all the systems, that all the systems that seemed to point towards the destruction of Hashem of Klal Yisrael, Hashem overturned and enabled Klal Yisrael to be saved. What? See, the emphasis is that he threw a pur. We're going to see the Megillah is later going to say that the name Purim is Al Shem the Pur. Why was this so significant? Because he really was working within the system of Mazalos, and Afal Pikein, Klal Yisrael is L'malo Mina Mazalos, and Hashem overturned the system of Mazalos to save us. Ve'yomer Haman L'melech Achashverosh, Yeshno Am Echad Mufuzar Mufarad Bein Ha'amim, V'chol Midoros Malchusecha, V'taseim Shonos Mikol Am, V'estaseim Melech Einam Osim, V'lamelech Ein Shavero L'anicham. So Haman said a kitrug against Klal Yisrael. So he says there's one nation that's mufuzar mufurad bein ha'amim. Okay. So in first of all, in pshat, he's saying that they're scattered out, so they're not going to be so hard. They're not going to be able to put up a strong resistance because they're scattered. V'datem shonos, and they're different, so no one's going to stick up for them. Mikolam v'datem elchein amosim, and they don't follow the ways of the king, meaning they're not supportive of your malchus, so you don't lose out by getting rid of this nation. Therefore, there's no point in keeping them around. There's nothing to lose by getting rid of this nation. So that's Haman's sales pitch to Achashverosh to get rid of the Jews. I read out from the Medrash more about Rihus, the way that he spoke Lashon Hara against Klal Yisrael in the derech of the all anti-Semitic propaganda that we're used to. Now, besides the pshat, there's also a remez that the kitrug was both lamata and lamala, that he was saying also kitrug against Klal Yisrael. There was a taina in the Beis Din Shalmala that yesh am echad mufuzar mufrad, that were scattered, that there's a nation that's scattered around, meaning that Klal Yisrael didn't have achdus, and we know that that's the greatest salvation for Klal Yisrael from Tzaros is through the koach of achdus. So because they were lacking that was the Pesach that Haman saw, that there was a chance to be mekatrig against them. So therefore he said, Imal Melech Tov, Ikasev La'avdam, Vaseres Alafim Kikar Ketzev Eshkol, Al Yidei Osei Amalach, Lahavi, El Ginzei Amelech. And he said, so therefore, if the Melech sees fit, that we should write an edict to destroy the Jews. And he said, I'll pay the Aseres Alafim Kikar Ketzev to the Melech in order to kill the Jews. The Pashup Pshat is that he was offering this was like a reimbursement for the loss of tax money that he's going to have by killing the Jews. So Haman was paying off whatever revenues that might have come in through because of the Jews. Vayasar Melech es tavato mi'al yado. The Melech took off his signet ring. Vayina Haman ben Amdasa ha'agike sorer ha'yehudim. And he gave it over to Haman, the Agagi, the Amaleki, sorer ha'yehudim, the hater of the Jews. Okay. This l'chora is a remez. This is a bit of a tricky point in the rest of the Megillah. We'll see that he didn't emphasize to Haman who the nation was that he didn't tell Achashverosh what nation he was trying to kill. He just described the situation, but he didn't actually state by name which nation it was. So Achashverosh might claim ignorance and say, "Oh, I didn't know what he meant." But the pasuk seems to be pointing out that he was known as a Jew hater. That he was so rare Ayudim that everyone knew Haman the Jew hater. So when Haman says that there's a nation that I want to wipe out, that Ahasuerus certainly at least should have been aware that he was referring to the Jews. Vayomer HaMelech LaHaman, HaKesef Nasun Lach VeAm Lasos Bo Kitov BeEinecha, that he said, I'm giving back the money and you can do whatever you want with the nation, meaning that you don't even have to buy me out. I'm a willing partner. I'm happy to cooperate with your plan. What? Apparently, what? So apparently he also hated the Jews. Apparently he had. Yeah, that's the Chiddush. That's the Chiddush. That's what we see is that Ein Hakanami, he wasn't just a passive part of this. That he also was anxious to get rid of the Jews. Vayikaru Sofrei HaMelech B'Chodesh HaRishon, and that's why the Hatzalah is even greater, right? In other words, that makes us realize even more what a tremendous nes it was that they were saved. In other words, if the whole thing was just that he was being duped by Haman, and he never really wanted to kill the Jews, then it's one thing to get him to change his mind. But if you see that he was really in on it, he was perfectly happy to have the Jews killed, and Afal Pikein, the whole situation, because Esther was the queen, and she managed to get him angry at Haman, and therefore he overturned the edict, so he was actually reversing his own policy, that's even a bigger chiddush, that Klal Yisrael was able to be saved from such a situation. Okay? Vayikaru Sofrei HaMelech B'Chodesh HaRishon B'Shlosha Asar Yom Bo Vayika Sev Kecho Asher Tziva Haman El Achashtar B'nei HaMelech Vela Pachos Asher Al Medina Medina Sari Am V'Am Medina Medina Kichzavam V'Am V'Am Kilshono B'Shem HaMelech Achashverosh Nichtav V'Nechtam V'Tavaz HaMelech. Okay, so it says that they called the Sofrei HaMelech and they had them write out these edicts, and he sent it to the Achashtar B'nei HaMelech Vela Pachos. So these were to the Sarim, to the heads of the different countries, to each nation according to their language and in their script. Okay, and everything was done with the royal authority, right? Achashverosh gave over to him the signet ring to give him the authority to do whatever to make whatever edicts in the name of the king. Vinishloch Svarim Biad Haratzim El Kol Medinos HaMelech Lahashmid Laharug Laabed Es Kol Yehudim Minar Va'ad Zakein Taf V'Nashim B'Yom Echad B'Shlosha Asar L'Chodesh Shnei Masar Hu Chodesh Adar U'Shlalam Avot. And the letters were sent out by the runners to all the countries of the king. Lahashmid Laharug Laabed. The Grub points out that the multiple Lashonos, Lahashmid is to destroy the neshama. Lashon of Shmad is to make them be over on the mitzvos, to make them give up religion. Laharog is to take away the ruach, the life force. Laabed is to destroy the physical body. As kol yidumi narva adzakin taf v'nashim biyom echad v'shlosha asar v'chodesh shnei masar hu chodesh adar u'shalom avos, and to take their money, right? The in machshava, besides the three parts of the person, nefesh, ruach, neshama, the mammon is also considered an essential part of the person. His possessions are part of his essence, and therefore taking them away is also part of the destruction of Klal Yisrael.
Can we say part of those the neshama things again?
Huh? The lahashmid is the neshama, is to destroy the neshama. Laharog is taking away the ruach, is taking away the life force. Laabed is destroying the guf. Also, if you're trying to get the masses behind you to get popular support for carrying out the edict, so offering the reward of confiscating the property is a sure way to get all of the rabble to join in the pogroms, right? As we've seen, you know, throughout history that's always you know, the Arabs used it on the convoys to Yerushalayim, the Nazis, Yimach Shema, right? It's a common way to get the Hamonam to join in the pogrom is by offering them the spoils. Okay.
How was the edict the spiritual one?
In other words, he was after when you kill them, everything's gone. But he was after each aspect. You know, each aspect was important to destroy the ruchnius of Klal Yisrael and also to destroy the guf. Okay, one second. There's one duke I just don't want to miss here. Let me just make sure I get it right. Second. Next line. So there was another letter that was written to be given in every country, galui, in the open, to all the nations, lios asidim layom hazeh, to be prepared for this day. Okay, so the Grub points out that there were two letters that were sent out. That there was one letter that was sent out to the rulers, to the Achash, Darpanim, and the Pachos, to the rulers of each country, and that detailed the exact plan that they were going to destroy the Jews completely, and that it was the Jews that they were after, and that they were trying to destroy them. There was another letter. They were afraid that if the word would get out, that they were planning already in advance, months in advance. They were worried that the Jews would get organized and try to defend themselves or to try to appeal to overturn the Gezerah, and therefore they didn't want the word to get out of what the plan was. So therefore, what was revealed to everyone was just to be prepared, to get their weapons ready, to be prepared for the 13th day, that something big was going to happen, but they weren't telling they weren't letting the word out as to exactly what the plan was. Only the rulers of each area were informed of what the full extent of the plan. Haratim yatu duchufim bidvar amelch v'adaz nina b'shushan abira. The runners were sent out quickly by the melech, and the das, which is the last thing, is just the edict was sent out in Shushan Abira. You know, that's the first place it got to. The Melech and Aman were complacent, right? They didn't have any qualms about what they were setting out to do. The city of Shushan was Navoch, was confused, right? The confusion was stemming from the fact that there was disinformation going on. They weren't being told straight out what the plan was. There was talk that something big is going to happen on the 13th of Adar, and they weren't being told. So the whole city, not only the Jews, everyone was confused because they didn't know what this edict was about and where it was headed. Okay, we'll take a 5-minute break, and then we'll continue with part 3. Okay. Perek Daled. Okay. Mordechai yada es kol asher nasa, vayikra Mordechai es begadav, vayilash tak veiver. You know, Mordechai was the first one to discover the plot, right? Because he was a Sar Bashar HaMelech, so he had connections that revealed to him that it was really against the Jews that they were plotting. So he reacted by trying to, like, raise the alarm that people should realize the severity. So he went and he dressed in Sak Ve'efer, Vayetze B'soch Ha'ir, Vayizak Zak HaGedol Amara, and he went right in the middle of the city and screamed out that everyone should see and should take should learn from him that they need to do tshuva and they need to be more rachamim. Vayabo ad lifnei Shar HaMelech, and he came all the way up to the Shar HaMelech, meaning he came as far as they would let him. Ki ein lavo el Shar HaMelech b'lavush sak. They wouldn't let him in past the Shar wearing sak. So he came. So he came towards the palace as far as he could go. Yeah.
Why don't they just kill him? Because like, yeah, like screaming out, like trying to warn him, like about like how the king's after him. Like why do they go on? Adding to the
what?
Just like adding to the craziness of the Hester calling the star.
Interesting. I don't know. It could be. Huh?
He was a royal figure.
He's asking why they didn't just kill him on the spot if he was making so much trouble. I guess they had the semblance of order. Like it's not like a Hefkervelt that you just go kill someone because you don't like him. They had a royal edict that they're going to kill him on a certain day, whatever. They had it all set up, but it's not like they could just take the one to their own hands. Huh? Right. So, there are there are exceptions where the Melech in his anger can take action. Yeah.
No, so that makes sense because Ahasuerus, she doesn't want like a whole kind of anarchy type thing because he's trying to solidify
his own. Right. Could be. Okay, I hear. Interesting, Aaron. Okay. So now he says, "Uvuchol midina midina makom asher dvar Melech v'daso magia evil gadol ayehudim v'tomu v'chim is paid sak ve'ifer yutzal rabim." Okay. So the Gra says that this is following the hanhagas that are outlined in Maseches Tainis, that when there's a tzara on the nation, that you make a Yom Tainis, and this is what you do. Tzomu v'chiyum is paid, that they gather in the center of the city, and they daven and they cry out and do tshuva. Sak ve'efer yutzal rabim. He says this is also following the hanhagas in Maseches Tainis, that it says that only the chashuvim, only the gedolim wore sak ve'efer during Yom Tainis. So it wasn't for everyone. It was l'rabim. There were many people, meaning all of the talmidei chachamim, wore sak ve'efer. Vatovo nanaros Esther v'asarisa v'yagidu la v'tizchalchal malka ma'od. So Esther's servants came and told her what was going on, that Mordechai was carrying on in the Shara Melech. And she became very upset. So she sent clothes to Mordechai to get him to take off his mourning clothes. So the Gra explains that she was telling him that she wanted to hear firsthand. She wanted to hear from Mordechai what's going on. So therefore, she told him at least to get dressed so that he can come into the Shara Melech and discuss the situation with her. But he wouldn't accept that because he wanted to be mishtatev in the Tzar of Klal Yisrael. He said, the Gra says, even for a moment, he didn't want to remove himself from the Tzibor and not be involved in the Avelus. Batikra Esther Hasach, so she called her trustworthy servant Hasach, who Chazal tell us was Daniel, after he had been taken down from his godless as a Tsar. He was the messenger for Esther, Misari Se Amelach Asher Hamid Lefaneha VaTitzaveu Amordechai, and she gave him instructions of what to speak with Mordechai. Vadas Mazeh Val Mazeh, to understand, to ask. First of all, she hadn't heard what was going on yet. In other words, it hadn't officially been revealed that it was a plot against the Jews, and therefore she didn't know what the edict was yet. And also she wanted to understand from Mordechai what the cause of it was. In other words, not just to know the events, but to understand based on his wisdom how he understand what had brought on this tsar. Vayetze Hasach el Mordechai el Rechov Ayir asher livnei Shara Melech. So Hasach went out to the Rechov Ayir, which was outside the Shara Melech because Mordechai wasn't able to come in. Vayagad lo Mordechai es kol asher karau. So he told him everything that had occurred. And he told him about the money that Haman had weighed out and offered to the king. Okay. First of all, Chazal pick up on the lashon karahu, that he says that Mordechai was hinting to her that this is Amalek, this is the actions of Amalek. That just like we by Amalek it says Asher Karcha Baderech, that the Derech of Amalek is to make people think that everything is Mikra, that everything is just the Derech, the way of the world, and that there's no Hashkacha Pratis. So he told him that this is a Mikra, this is an occurrence just like Asher Karcha Baderech was a seemingly chance occurrence that we understand was a specific onesh for the Rifayim B'Torah, that we understand that what they see as Mikra, we see as Hashkach. Okay, so he was hinting to the fact that this is Amalek, in other words, telling her how severe this is, that this is not a joke. We're up against our arch enemies, right? The Amalek is the antithesis of Judaism. That's who we're up against. And not only that, he told her about the Kesef. What's so important about the Kesef? The Melech didn't even take it in the end. So of course, this idea of Mesiras Nefesh, that when somebody's being Moser Nefesh for something, then they have a special Seata Dishmaya to be successful. So when our enemies are going after us, not just with hatred, but they're willing to be Moser Nefesh to conquer us, then that creates a greater Kitrug and much greater danger against Klal Yisrael. Yeah. What? About the Kassif? He was in with the Sarim. Apparently he had informers that were letting him in on what was going on. What? No, Achashverosh did, but he had informers that were tipping him off what was going on. Ves Pashegin Ksava Das, Asher Nitan Beshushan Lahashmidam, Natan Lo, Laharos as Esther, Lahagila. He had gotten his hands even on one of these private, one of the secret messages, and he sent that so Esther would see clearly that how serious the situation was. And therefore, he commanded her to go in front of the Melech and to appeal to the Melech on behalf of her nation. Yeah. No, the Pashegan is the secret one. What? One second. It's it. One second. Pashegin ksav hadas asher nitan b'shushan. Lahash midam. No, right. It emphasizes lahash midam. So this was the one that. You're right. It calls this one also the Pashegin, but this is not the Galui one. This is the one that was lahash mid. Okay. Okay. Now, why did he need to be mitzava? Now, we'll see that besides the danger involved, that there was serious halachic issues going on here, right? That until now, she had been tilakach. She had always been taken by the Melech. So now, this was the first time that she was initiating contact with the Melech, that she was going into the Melech, which was obviously putting her in a situation where he could want to have relations with her. And now it would be out of her initiative. So how was she able to do this? Why don't we say that Gilui Arayos is Yaharig Val Yavor? So so that's the Tosin Sanhedrin goes into the Barichus, the idea that an Isha is Karka Olam, since she's passive, therefore it's not the same Chumrah. Tosin has another pshat, that it was a Horas Shav for the Kiyum of all Klal Yisrael. Or there's another tzad that it was even begetter a rare thing called Aveir Lishma, that there are certain situations that for the Hatzal of Klal Yisrael, even an Aveira is whatever, three times in history that there was such a thing as an Aveiru Lishma, that it didn't fit into the halakhic guidelines, but it was being done to save Klal Yisrael. Okay, so, what? What's called Yael, right, by Sisra. Is that one of the three? Yeah, I don't remember. Okay, right, yeah, but that's all right. Okay, Vayavo Hasach, Vayagid Lester Es Divrei Mordechai. So Hasach came and told Esther the words of Mordechai. Vatomer Esther LaHasach, Vatitzaveu El Mordechai, and she sent back her response. And this is what she told him: Kol Avdei Hamelech Va'amdinos Hamelech Yodim Asher Kol Ish VeYisha Asher Yavo El Hamelech El Chatzar Apnimis Asher Lo Yikarei Achas Daso Lamis. That everyone knows that anyone who goes into the Melech without being called is surely going to be killed. Unless he has special clemency and he holds out the Sharvit Azav and has mercy on the person. And I haven't been called for 30 days. So the Gra explains that what she was telling him was, first of all, that if I go, I'm in big danger, because first of all, there's such a law. And not only that, it's known, it's well known. And therefore, just like Vashti, since it was in public, therefore, he couldn't have mercy on her. So to hear, since I'm going against a well-known rule of the kingdom, therefore he won't have mercy on me. Second of all, she tells him, what's the rush? We have, right, how many months is it? We have, I think, 10 months between the time that the ksav was given and the time of Adar. So anyway, I haven't been called for 30 days. I'm sure any day he's going to call me, so why should I risk going in without being called? I heard another mal. That's the gra. I heard another mal that it could be the, that he's saying the, that she's saying the other way. That she's saying, since I haven't been called for 3 days, I must be out of favor with him, and therefore it's an even greater risk to go in and to go in uninvited. Vayagidu Mordechai es divrei Esther. So they told Mordechai Esther's idea. Vayomer Mordechai lashiv al Esther, and Mordechai spoke back to Esther very harsh language. Don't think that you can escape by staying in the Beis HaMelech from all the Jews. Now, obviously, Mordechai isn't responding to her practical tain, he's responding to her negiah. In other words, he's understanding that she's not seeing things clearly because she's no gay of a dover, that she's trying to save herself. You know, somewhere deep in her subconscious, she thinks that that's that she'll save herself, and therefore he's speaking to her negia that realized that if this gzera is carried out, that you're going to be included also. Ki'im hacharesh hacharishi ba'is azos, because if you keep quiet at this time, revach v'atzal yamod v'ayudim mimakom acher, a salvation will come to the Jews from another place, v'adu ba'is avich tovedu, and you and your father's house will be destroyed. U'miyodeh im la'is kazos yigat l'malchut, and who knows, maybe this is the reason why you came to the Malchus, was for a time like this. Okay, a few things to comment about this pasuk. Okay, so first of all, the idea of revach v'atzal yamod v'ayudim mimakom acher, that the history of Klal Yisrael is something that's not negotiable. That the history of Klal Yisrael is something that's essential to the completion of the world, and therefore no individual bechira can affect the course of history of Klal Yisrael. So if you pass up your opportunity to be the one to bring the salvation to Klal Yisrael, don't think that's going to make or break Klal Yisrael, that Hashem has his plan and that's going to be carried out in the end. Your only choice is whether you're going to be the messenger that's going to be the one that Megalin Zchus Al Yedei Zakai, that you'll have the Zchus of saving Klal Yisrael. What? It's saying don't miss your opportunity. That this is something that the Atzal is going to happen. So if you're in a situation to do it, you have to play the role that you're capable of. It's for your benefit. He's saying it's for your benefit. It's not, you're not doing it for Klal Yisrael. You're doing it for yourself. That you should be the one to take advantage of the opportunity to have this loose. Yeah.
I think he's saying though, like it's top from your top. If you're not doing your top, that's obviously a terrible thing.
So we'll see. That's the next part of the puzzle. So then the pasuk says, "Va'adu es avich tovedu." That if you don't do it, you and your family are going to be destroyed, right? So why, just because she isn't moser nefesh, why is she going to be destroyed? So there's two mahalchim. One possibility is that it's saying that you'll be punished for standing by and not doing whatever you could. And the other pshat, the Malvi says an interesting thing. He says that if a person's whole tafkid was to do something and he doesn't do what he was created for, so then he has no purpose in existence. That if this is, you were set up for this purpose and you pass it up, so then you'll be destroyed because you've lost your right to existence if you're not doing the fulfilling the role that you were set up for.
Also, can we say it might be a reflection back on Shaul, who also passed up a chance to move as a
Haramah? Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Okay, so now this lashon also is very interesting. Umio deim lais kazos yigad malchut. That who knows? Maybe this is the whole reason why you came into the malchus, right? It's funny for us because in retrospect we say, of course, obviously that's why she was brought to the malchus, right? But from their perspective, they didn't see where this was all going, how this was going to lead to Atzal of Klal Yisrael. So it had happened already years before in preparation for this. So, from the perspective of being in this situation, you don't see where the hashkacha is going. Vatomer Esther Lashiv El Mordechai. So she said back, yeah. Right. I guess it means extended family. I guess it means your whole.
I mean,
it could be that that's the whole exclusive of your time of your family is that you would represent them and do this one important deed. So, huh? Yeah, we see like by Moab that all of Moab was saved for the two Prater Sovas, right? We just had the Gemara, right? So, Okay? So Vatomer Esther Lahashiv El Mordechai. So Esther sent back to Mordechai. Leich Knos Es Kol Yehudim. Go and gather together all the Jews and Nimtan B'Shushan, all the Jews that are in Shushan, meaning you won't be able on short notice to get all of Klal Yisrael everywhere, but at least ones in Shushan gather together. V'tzum alai, make a fast on my behalf. V'al tofu v'al tushu teshu shloshes yomim, a 3-day fast. Laila v'yom, day and night. That's heavy duty if anyone wants to try, right? Gama niva narosai atum kain, and we'll join in with this. U'v'chein avo al melech asher lo kedas, v'chasher avadati avadati. And therefore I'll go in even against the regulation, meaning both against the king's regulation and also against the halacha, meaning that even though this is be'isr, but it's being done for a necessity of Klal Yisrael. The kasher avadati avadati, because I'll say that I'll become asr, even though I'll become asr to my husband, because even though there's a justification for doing it, but it's still considered a bia baratzon, and therefore it asrs her to her husband, and she's willing to give that up for the hatzal of Klal Yisrael. Okay. Now it's important. What? Oh, what's the asr lebal asr leboel? Okay, that's the gemara. That Tosfos is barich over there. That's the Tosfos in Sanhedrin has all arichos on that, whether that applies to goyim, that whole discussion. Okay, so now we need to focus on a theme that runs through the Megillah, which you'll hear more about later in Parsha Club. That we see here that the beginning of the Hatzal of Klal Yisrael, here's the beginning of the turning of the tide, is right in this pasuk. Where does the Hatzal begin? By Leich Knoses Kol Yehudim. If the kitruv against Klal Yisrael was Yesh Am Echad Mifozar Muforad Ben Amim, the Hatzal of Klal Yisrael begins with Leich Knoses Kol Yehudim. If we get all Klal Yisrael together and we have Achdus, then we can appeal to Hashem as a unit, and that's what will bring the Hatzal. Vayavor Mordechai Vayask Choshar Tzivsa Alav Esther. Mordechai was over. It says that it was Pesach and he didn't eat matzah. He didn't fulfill the mitzvahs of the Seder because they were having this fast to daven to save Klal Yisrael. Okay, Perakei. Vayehi Bayom Ashlishi Vatilbash Esther Malchus. On the third day, Esther dressed in the royal garments, Vatamod Bechatzar Beis HaMelech HaPnimis, and she stood in the courtyard of the Beis HaMelech, the internal courtyard, Nochach Beis HaMelech, opposite the room of the king, Vamelech Yoshev Al Kisei Malchuso BeBeis HaMalchus, Nochach Pesach Abayis. So this was part of the Hashkacha that he, on that particular occasion, he happened to be sitting on his Kisei HaMalchus, Nochach Pesach Abayis, opposite the entrance, in order that he would see her immediately, and she wouldn't have to even enter without being called in. She would catch his eye already from the courtyard and find favor in his eye. Vayi Kiros Amelach as Esther Amelka Omedes Bachatzer, and as soon as he saw her outside in the Chatzer, Nasachin Beinav, she immediately found favor in his eye. And this also was a nace, right, after 3 days of fasting, right? You can imagine how she looked. Right, she wasn't at her best, top beauty. That this was a special chen that Hashem gave her to find favor in Achashverosh's eye. Vayoshes Hamelach LeEsther Es Sharvit Azahav Asher Biado VaTikrav Esther VaTigav Rosh HaSharvit. And he held out the Sharvit, and that was the indication that he had pardoned her for entering, and she came in and approached him and touched the Sharvit. Vayomer La Hamelach Malach Esther Hamalka. So he asked her, what would you like? What can I do for you? So he understood that there are two things that she could be asking for her own personal needs. That's malach and magabakashasech, or that she might have a petition on behalf of someone else that he was willing to give her up to chetzi amalchus to fulfill her wishes. By Tomer Esther, imal amelch tov yavo amelch v'haman hayom elamishta asher asisi lo. That if I finds favor in the king's eyes, he and Haman will come to the mishnah that I've prepared. Okay, in other words, she was telling him that I have something big that I need to discuss, but I need time to, I want to have a more peaceful setting to present you with my issues. Now, the fact that she invited Haman to the mishnah seems very strange, right? So Chazal or Ma'arich on what her intention was, Chazal bring, I didn't count it, it was like 10 different opinions of what her kavana was. And then the Gemara ends off, and it says that Eliyahu HaNavi appeared to one of the Amoraim, and the Amore asked Eliyahu HaNavi which one Esther was really thinking, and he said she had all of these issues in mind, that she had all 10 cheshbonos, everything was all worked out, that from every different angle that she wanted to invite Haman. Okay, so the simple pshat, l'chora, based on the hemshech of the psukim, is that she wanted him on the spot, that she knew that Haman has this anger, like we saw by Vashti, that Haman has this quick anger to take action when he's upset about something, and therefore she wanted Haman to be on the spot, that as soon as she was ma'orer Achashverosh's anger towards Haman, that he would immediately take action and kill Haman on the spot before he had a chance to try to protect himself or to try to explain his actions and to talk his way out of it. That she didn't want him to have a chance to like prepare his defense and to try to rally up a support for himself to protect him from Achashverosh. She wanted to be on the spot, that as soon as the Achashverosh was angry, that he would immediately kill him. Another pshat, an interesting pshat, is that he was being ma'orer Achashverosh's jealousy towards Haman. He knew that Achashverosh was insecure, and by showing favor towards Haman, that he might think that there's something going on with Haman. The lashon of the Gemara is that Shemi Yahargu Yarugo Tova Ota, that maybe he would be choshed that there was something between between Esther and Haman, and that he would be choshed them both, and he would kill them both, and by that that would bring out Tzalah to Klal Yisrael by getting rid of Haman. Okay.
What would that bring up?
Since he was the leader, even though the edict had been sent out, apparently if it didn't have guidance, it would have collapsed.
It's like a
yeah.
That's not the way Achashverosh like gets mad and he says like I'm with Moses
Yeah. Don't give away our secrets yet. Okay. So now it says Vayomer Hamelch Maru Es Haman Lasos Es Dvara Esther. So Achashverosh sent to quickly bring Haman to fulfill Esther's wishes. Okay, and this is what I said, that from this point, from this part of the Megillah, everything's moving very quick. There's no breaks in the action. Everything's within 3 days. All this is unfolding. So immediately they sent for Haman right away. El Mishta Asher Asa Esther. Vayomer Amel Esther B'Mishta Yain Mashe Laseich V'Inasim Lach Umaba Kashaseich Ad Chatzia Malchus V'Teas. Again, he asked if she had a personal request or a bakasha for someone else. Vatan Esther Vatomer Shelasiu Bakasha. See, so finally she revealed that it really was something that was both for herself and for someone else that she was asking. Imatzasi Chen Beinei Amelch V'Mal Amelch Tov V'Aseses Shelasi V'Asoses Bakasha. See, that what I'm asking for myself and for others. Yavo Amelch V'Haman El Amishta Asher Esa Lahem. So one more time, I want you to come I want you to bear with me, come to another meeting, and tomorrow I promise I'll reveal what this is all about. So Haman went out full of joy, right, obviously being singled out to be in this private circle of the king and queen, and only he's invited, so he was on the top of the world. Right, the Chiroso Haman asks Mordechai b'Shar HaMelech, and he's coming out of the Shar HaMelech, and he sees Mordechai. He passes Mordechai, v'lo kam v'lo zami menu. You just picture the picture that Mordechai didn't get up, v'lo zai. He didn't even budge. He didn't nudge. In other words, sometimes when a person is defying you, right? So you see on his face like he's twitching, like I'm not going to stand up, right? And like. You could see Mordechai like just sitting there, like totally calm, just like nonchalant, like doesn't even faze him that Haman's walking by. He's just sitting back, relaxed, and that really burns Haman, right? The fact that he doesn't even feel pressure, doesn't even see that he's standing up against Haman, so that raises the greatest anger. V'lokam v'lo zami menu v'yim alei Haman al Mordechai chema. And Haman was filled with anger, right? And obviously, the lozami matter to have such composure, not to flinch, is coming from a tremendous bitachon, right? Only a person who has complete bitachon that I'm doing the right thing and nothing bad can come from this, only he could feel that complacency. Okay. Vayisa pak Haman, vayavo al beso, that Haman could like just barely restrain himself from going and strangling Mordechai on the spot. Vayishlach vayave es oavav vezereshishto. So he sent to bring him who? His oavav, the people who loved him, and zereshishto, and also his wife, right? That's pointing to major Shalom bias issues going on here, right? Okay. So he needs to speak about his frustration. So he says, "Vayesaber lam Haman es kvod Ashro v'rov banav." So he started by going on and on about how great he was and all the good things that he has, all of his big family, Veis Kol Asher Gidlo Amelch, Veis Asher Nasu Al Asarim v'Avdei Amelch, how he's raised up, and he's telling them, going, he's like ranting and raving about how chashev he is. Vayomer Haman, Af lo hevia Esther Hamalka im Melech el Mishta Asher Asa Kimosi, and like the crowning glory on all of his greatness is now he was the only one invited to this Mishta. Vigam lamachar ani karula im Amelech, and even tomorrow I get to go again. Then he says, then he lets out, so what's upsetting you? V'chol zayin enu shavali, all this is worth nothing to me, right? This is a bal gaiva, this is the koach of gaiva, that if a person is looking for a kavod, that there's no end to kavod, that you get all the kavod in the world, and the one little pgia that's missing, and it ruins everything. V'chol zayin enu shavali, it's all worth nothing to me. All this, the tremendous kavod, the greatest kavod in the whole world, and it's worth nothing because it's incomplete. V'chol eis asher ani roas Mordechai Yehudi Yoshev b'Shar HaMelech. Whenever I see Mordechai sitting in the Shar HaMelech and not showing me and not standing up for me, I can't stand that. V'tomer lo zeresh ishto v'chol ohavav. So his wife and all the people who loved him again, gave him advice, right? So obviously, he gets advice from his wife, right? Who's calling the shots around here? It seems like, right? She's the one who's making the decisions. So we see why he was choshesh in the beginning, that he didn't want women to feel too powerful. He already has this issue about who's calling the shots in his house. But Tomer, what? Right, I know exactly. But Hagufa, that he needs her advice, that he's not taking action. He's stuck. He doesn't know how to deal with it. And she's the one who says, okay, this is what you're gonna do. This is how you're gonna deal with it. We'll see. It's going to shift the whole attitude in the house. That's Adrab, a person who naturally doesn't have it. He needs the external rules and regulations. There are the societal pressures to set up to give him the power, to give him the authority. Vatomer lo zeresh ishto v'chol ohavav yas eitz gavoa 50 amah. You should make a tree 50 amas high. Uva boker emor lamelch v'yidlas Mordechai alav. And you should first thing in the morning to go, don't wait. First thing in the morning, go and tell Achashverosh to kill Mordechai. So now, why does it have to be 50 amas, right? The average person is what, two and a half amas, right? What do you need a 50 amma high pole to hang him from? So his wife explained to him that since this is the one thing that's sticking you, so you want to always feel that you've conquered Mordechai. So when you're standing, right? He was a tsar in the Beis HaMelech. So when you're standing in the palace, you should always be able to see. It should be so high that you can see it from the window of the palace. You always feel comforted that there's Mordechai hanging on the pole, which obviously is going to come in handy in the Hemshah. Okay, huh?
He had a dream that Mordechai was flying over his house. And he thought that dream wasn't going to be hanging. He was basing up. He had big houses, 50 amas high.
Okay, we'll see. The Gra is going to point out that that's setting up for the atzal in the end. Okay, fine. And Vayasaitz, he made it himself, right? Sina Mekalkel Sashura, that he didn't even go and order his avanim. He went ahead first with his own hands and set up the tree to hang. Okay, we're doing no more questions. We have 9 minutes and we have to finish one more parak. Okay. Balailahu, Nadar Shnas HaMelech. That night, Achashverosh had a hard time falling asleep. Why? Well, think about it, right? The queen comes to him. She's all nervous that something's going on, and she invites Haman. And what's Haman doing here? What's going on with the queen and Haman? And what's she going to ask about, right? It doesn't take too vivid an imagination to see Achashverosh tossing and turning, trying to sort out what's going on with this whole parsha with that's going on with Esther. So what does he do? So he calls for the Sefer Zichronos to be brought. In other words, he's hoping to find some clue to go through the recent events and see what's happened to try to see if he can find some clue what it could be that Esther and Haman are up to. And particularly, since he's worried if there's a bakasha that she's making on behalf of someone, so he wants to cover his bases to make sure that he's taken care of, that anyone who he owes a favor to should be covered, that he shouldn't owe anyone a favor, that she would be able to come in and make some broad bakasha in repayment of a previous debt. So therefore, Vayimatse Kasuv, and when he was looking for this type of thing, sure enough, that's what he found. Asher Higid Mordechai Al Bigson Vasera Shne Sarise Amel Mishomre Hasaf Asher Bikshu Lishloch Yad V'melech HaChashverosh. He found that Mordechai had revealed this plot, and right because it had been recorded in Mordechai's name, that sets the stage for this atzal. Vayomer Hamelech Naase Yikaru Gdula LeMordechai Alzeh, that HaChashverosh asked what kavod had been given to Mordechai in response to this. Vayomru Nare Hamelech Misharsav Lo Naase Imo Davar. They answered that nothing had been done to repay him for this tova. Vayomer Hamelech Mi V'chatzer V'haman Ba L'chatzer Beis Hamelech HaChitzona Leimor L'melech Litlos as Mordechai Aleitz Asher Hechin Lo. So he hears someone outside, and sure enough it's Haman who's there first thing in the morning ready to get Mordechai killed, and Achashverosh is busy trying to find a plan to give Mordechai kavod. Vayavo Haman Vayomer Lo Hamelech So he said, "What?" He asked Haman, "What's your advice? How should I repay someone that I want to show kavod to?" So he gets all caught up. He forgets all about getting Mordechai punished. He gets excited that, oh, the king wants to show me kavod. That he should bring the levush that the melech himself wore. The suit that the melech rode on, Vasher Nitan Keter Malchus Barosho. So the way the Gra reads this pasuk is it means that the suit that the melech was riding on the day of his coronation, on the day that he was crowned, the clothes and the suit that he was riding, that's what he should wear. Now, anyone who's right pays attention to what's going on here should notice that there's something fishy here, right? What does Haman want to be wearing the clothes of the coronation, right? In other words, Haman is very dangerously overstepping, right, the bounds of his authority. He's trying to get himself to be presented as if he's the melech. Okay, so that's certainly going to start threatening the security of Achashverosh, and that might contribute to the tension between him and Haman. Now also we see the idea that what does Haman view as a reward is pure chitonius. Right, it's not power. It's not hana. There's nothing the person gets out of it. Just the chitonis to look like the melech. That's what's chashuv to Haman. Whereas Klal Yisrael, we understand that what's important is the pnimius, not just the outside trappings. Okay, so v'natzon al levush v'asus al yad ish mishsarei melech. That it shouldn't just be done by some stable boy. That a chashuv person of the king's court should present the clothes to this person. And they should dress this person up. And they should announce that this is how we show kavod to a person that the melech wants to show kavod for. They quickly go and do this to Mordechai Yehudi, who's Bashar HaMelech, that he's the person who I want to show all of this kavod to. Okay, so obviously now is not going to be the time to ask the Melech to hang Mordechai, right? Vayikach Haman es halvush ves asus, vayalvesh es Mordechai, vayarkiveu birchov ha'ir, vayikra lufanav kache yasel ish asher HaMelech hafetz biyakaro. So Haman himself was forced to do this embarrassing work of parading Mordechai through the city. Vayashav Mordechai el shar HaMelech, vahaman nidchav el besof, Avil v'chayfui rosh. So Mordechai went back to sitting with kavod in the Shar HaMelech, and Haman just had to kind of sneak off to the side in his embarrassment at being used as a stable boy to cater to Mordechai's needs. Ve'saper Haman l'zeresh ishto l'cho avav. So again, he told Zeresh ishto and all the people who loved him, es kol asher karau, everything that had all the occurrences, all the chance occurrences, right? A Malik perspective on the world that, oh, look at these coincidences, how my plans are not working out properly. So his wise people, again, Zeresh is excluded from the category. Okay, so his advisors and also his wife, who he didn't have so much respect for, Imi Zera HaYehudim, Mordechai, Asher Mordechai, that she understood the way that history works, that if Mordechai is a Jew, Asher HaChilosim Polafanav Lotuchal Lo, Kinafolti Polafanav, once you're falling in front of him, that you'll continue to fall. In other words, he understood that the nature of Klal Yisrael is that when they're down, that they can fall to the lowest depths, but when Hashem is looking out for them, no koach can stand up to them, that they're beyond all the mazalos, even if your mazal tells you that you're going to win, but once Hashem is raising Klal Yisrael up, nothing can stand up to them. Sorry, we can't do questions. Phil, you're first or second on the Parsha Club?
Second.
Okay, so we're a little less fresh. Oda Medabrim Imo, there's still... So again, the immediate succession of events, he was just getting this advice to give up his plans, to back down from his plans to try to kill Mordechai. Oda Medabri Mimo, they're just having this discussion. And they rush to bring Haman to the Mishnah. What do you think? We have to finish the climax, right? We'll just do. It's just 5 more minutes, huh? What? Tuesday? You guys are okay? Being in suspension suspense till Tuesday?
We know what happens.
Okay, fine. You know what happens? Okay.
Fine.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
No.
Why the two mishnah?
Yes, sir.
Huh? What? No.